Okay, so hello Duncan and Sarah. We're here to talk about your new pamphlet, Working Progress, which was published last week. On the front of this pamphlet it says, a disconnect exists between young people and the organisational cultures that they encounter in the workplace. What's that all about?
Well, we argue in the pamphlet that organisations and young people are not meeting each other's needs, but not because either are incapable or lack even the inclination to do so, but more because they lack a real understanding of what each other's needs actually are. So we suggest that there are a series of shifts taking place in the types of jobs that are available to young people, but also in the expectations that young people bring with them to the workplace. And what this means is that organisations, young people and indeed government all have to update their responses.
Yeah. And it's worth saying that one question we got asked at the launch was, isn't this an age-old problem? Haven't we heard all this before? But I think the point we're making is, number one, yeah, it has been a problem, and we've got some kind of new suggestions for solutions. But at the same time, I think the stuff that Duncan was just talking about, we illustrate that it's only going to become more and more acute. So, okay, there's always been this disconnect, but actually people's attitudes are changing at a rate of knots. Organisations are changing at a rate of knots, so these problems are only set to get much more intense over the next 10, 20 years. So we can't just sit around hoping something's going to happen. We have to do something.
54% of HR directors in companies say that they find it hard to source graduates with the right skills, but at the meantime, 90% of graduates believe that they're well prepared for the workplace. If you could tell graduates something about the workplace that they're going to encounter, what would you tell them? Because clearly they're missing out on something.
Well, the evidence from employers is that skills like, or the ability to be creative, to get involved in innovation within an organisation is becoming increasingly important. And the importance of that will actually grow over the next 10 years rather than lessen. Employers also mention things like the ability to work in a team, to communicate well, to solve problems when they're faced with them. And we argue that the reason for this is that organisations are distributing responsibility for innovation and new ideas much more widely than they did in the past. And because of this, their idea of the dream employee is changing from one who's able to follow instructions to the letter to one who's able to adapt to new situations and come up with creative solutions to problems.
Yeah.
Expectations we have in our jobs are far greater than they used to be. So we expect teachers not just to deliver a good lesson, but to work with a range of other professionals, to strike up relationships with the wider community, with parents. We expect doctors not just to treat the illness, but also to treat the patient, and that requires a whole new set of skills.
So this is not about becoming a professional in a separate way to the rest of your life. Actually, it's about seeing the things that you do and the qualities that you have outside that space as being really important once you get there.
Right, but that isn't something that at the moment is provided through the university system as we understand it.
We think it's not just university, that right the way through the schools, right the way through the education system, the messages that you receive as a student are that a certain set of skills and abilities are very important. Broadly, that's the ability to write 3 essays in 3 hours or to recall a body of knowledge. But we know that in a modern workplace, these skills are of course, they're important. Literacy and numeracy remain absolutely essential. But to activate the skills and knowledge that are reflected in a traditional curriculum, young people need this broader set of skills around the ability to work together, to be creative, to communicate their ideas well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I suppose there's just one stat that we can throw in there, which is that only 20% of respondents in our survey said that school had in any way given them any of the skills that they now use when they first entered the workplace, which is a pretty massive indictment of the way they're prepared in advance.
So, I mean, are there any things that kids can do now to prepare themselves? If what you learnt at university doesn't prepare you for the workplace, then what does, and what can we do about it?
I think one answer is real work experience. Like some of this is about classic answers to the same problem, but just stressing the importance of them. So actually, I think it was something like 71% of the employers in our survey said they would consider taking someone on who'd had lots of work experience but didn't have a university degree, because actually it was those people who already demonstrated the skills that they were after. So there is, on one hand, this quite kind of simple answer to the question. On the other hand, I mean, there are organisations out there now, peer organisations of young people who recognise this problem, as well as big corporates who offer support and training in some of these areas. So there's an organisation we case study in the report called Future Foundations, made up of all these young people who came up out of university realising exactly this thing, who then set about constructing a course for young people as they do come out of university to say, OK, here are these things, let's try and help you build them. So work experience, and if you're really worried about it, why not try and source someone who can tell you exactly what it is they're after?
And I think the argument we're making in the pamphlet isn't that having a degree doesn't help you to get on in the workplace. We're just suggesting that it's not enough in and of itself. So there are things that graduates can do, getting involved in some of these extracurricular activities, which we know are important for people's wider development. But equally, universities can support this themselves. And there are a couple of case studies in the report, one of Glasgow Caledonian University and also one of MIT Cambridge, which reflect some of the ways in which universities can help demonstrate the importance of some of these skills to young people whilst they're still at university.
But for me, one of the most exciting things about your pamphlet is that it's not just about seeing this as a simple, supply-side problem.
Absolutely.
If universities and the education system can produce people with better skills, then the problem will be solved. It seems like you're also arguing that if employers actually got the kind of graduates that they're asking for, their organisational systems and structures wouldn't actually be equipped for them. So, I mean, I guess, what kinds of things can organisations do to make themselves, more ready or prepared for the kinds of graduates that they're asking for?
Well, you're right. I really agree that this is kind of one of the most interesting sort of areas and potentially exciting, because actually graduates are saying we want to be creative and flexible and autonomous, and employers are saying we want you to be creative and flexible and innovative. So there is this chance for this overlap. But as you say, the kind of sort of mechanisms aren't there at the moment to make that happen. I mean, one of the things that we suggest is actually meeting young people much more where they're at. So at the moment we say on graduate placements, come in for 3 years, commit to our organisation, train in this particular role, and that's the way you'll get on and build your skills. But actually, loads of the young people in our focus groups, those are people we know, for goodness sake, that all come out saying, well, we're not quite sure what we want to do. We certainly don't think we want to commit to this kind of long-term career right now. So we actually suggest that employers could get what they want and young people could get what they want a bit better by employers offering a kind of round robin of graduate job opportunities. So, okay, what we call it in the pamphlet is a development contract, and we suggest that organisations could get together in networks and groups, so maybe a public sector organisation, a private sector organisation, voluntary sector organisation, all of whom are interested in building some of the same soft skills in their young people, but also all of whom recognise those young people don't necessarily want to commit to them right now. So they say, in this 2-year contract, you get to go around 3 or 4 opportunities, building up these skills as you go, but also finding out a bit more about yourself along the way. So that would be one way of kind of responding to the sort of desire of young people to try out different things and find out more about themselves, right, as well as building their skills. You look puzzled.
I think the argument they're also trying to make in the pamphlet is that there's not only is there more to life than a miserable job that happens to pay you quite well, but there's actually quite a strong business case for having happy and satisfied and motivated employees. So happy employees are less likely to leave your company with all the costs that's associated with. You probably have to check up on them less as an employer, and the chances are you'll probably even need to pay them a bit less because they're motivated by their experience of work as much as by the amount that they receive at the end of the month. I think what this really speaks to is the need for organisations to treat their employees to treat graduates as people rather than just as employees. It means addressing things like work-life balance. And we suggest in the pamphlet that work-life balance should be treated as a skill as well as just a company policy. That often companies have these, or organisations have policies designed to to bring about a degree of work-life balance, but translating that policy into an everyday reality can be very difficult if you don't have some of the important skills that allow you to do that.
Mm. So aside from the development contract, you also recommend something called a skills portfolio. What's that all about?
Well, the skills portfolio is basically a way for employers to help feed into schools a much better understanding of what it is they're looking for, and also for young people to get a bit more what kind of things they're going to need once they get out there into the workplace. And what it would really be about would be local employers working with schools in their area to help them basically develop a list of the things that they really want to see in young people. And we're not talking here about we want 37 of your young people to be plumbers or electricians. We're talking about some of those softer skills in the report, like communication, customer handling. But so whilst employers would be helping to draw up a list of what would give you recognition in a skills portfolio, it wouldn't just include things that you did at school. It would also be a way of accrediting some of the stuff that young people do outside school, whether it be music stuff, sports stuff, things they do on the internet, whatever. The point about this would be to say, we want these skills and this is going to go in this kind of collection of stuff that we're going to accredit.
If people are interested in reading more about this kind of stuff, what would you recommend that they have a look at?
I wrote a little list of the things that I thought were quite important. One of which was a book by our director, Tom Bentley, called Learning Beyond the Classroom, which I think is very important and makes the crucial point that we have a false distinction at the moment between learning skills and learning knowledge. Another book is Out of Our Minds by Ken Robinson, which influenced me quite a lot. And a couple of organisations which are doing some quite interesting work on this as well. Chris Humphreys in particular at City and Guilds has produced some really interesting work. And also the work done by Enterprise Insight is quite thought-provoking. We had Kevin Steele at our launch, the chief executive, and he was very articulate and insightful in talking about the needs of young people.
What's Enterprise Insight? So, Duncan and Sarah's pamphlet Working Progress is available for free from the Demos website. You can download it from the catalogue page, which I think is www.demos.co.uk/catalogue. Otherwise, you can order a hard copy, but you'll have to pay for it from Central Books. The number for Central Books is on the Demos website. I can't remember it offhand. So... that was the first Demos podcast.
Thanks, Charlie.
And may there be many more.